Dr. Sproul, we live in a world that seems to be getting darker and darker by the moment. Recently, we've heard of persecution against Christians and other minorities in the Middle East, for example, and sometimes it seems like it's spiraling out of control, beyond hope.
Yes, and of course, this problem is not limited to the Middle East. It's happening in very significant pockets in Africa and other places around the world. These are ominous times, but there's always hope. God is sovereign, and we know that at some point, His justice will prevail over all of these things. The persecution in our day is shocking, and it's real. And that's one of the things we plan to address on our Caribbean study cruise, February 22nd through the 1st of March. I'm hoping that the people who are hearing me now will join us, so Dr. Sproul Jr., Dr. Stephen Nichols, and myself for this wonderful excursion. We'll be teaching every day of the cruise on church history and theology. And we will be focusing on the power that Christ gives the church to overcome persecution. In this wonderful Caribbean setting, we're going to have the opportunity to get better acquainted and also to vacation with our families in a relaxing and a fun environment as well. And as a special incentive, if you register today for this cruise, you'll receive a free complimentary admission to the 2015 Ligonier Ministry National Conference. It takes place February 19th through the 22nd. And this year, we're going to be holding it at the Disney Coronado Springs Resort in Orlando. Our theme is After Darkness, Light. So I hope you'll come and experience this hope-filled weekend, that you will renew your mind and your heart with the sustenance of the Word of God.
Contact our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or go to ligonier.org/events. The Protestant reformers fought hard to recover the doctrine of justification by faith alone. But are we in danger of losing it again? That's our topic today on Renewing Your Mind. Concern for biblical theology seems to have fallen by the wayside in many of today's churches. Even foundational doctrines like justification by faith alone are being overlooked or watered down. Today on Renewing Your Mind, Dr. R.C. Sproul begins a series that focuses on justification. He also deals with the important role that you and I play in preserving, teaching, and proclaiming the truth of the biblical gospel. With a lesson titled, After Darkness, Light, here's the founder and chairman of Ligonier Ministries, Dr. R.C. Sproul.
Some of you will recall that when we announced the new Geneva Study Bible and I talked about some of the history of the old Geneva Bible, I mentioned a trip that I took to Switzerland and the visit I made to the old city of Geneva, where there is this large park that is there to commemorate the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. And that park is adorned with this huge wall called the Reformation Wall, where figures from the Reformation are depicted and so on. But I mentioned that the motto of the Reformation was inscribed in the stone there, and that motto was three Latin words, post tenebras lux, after darkness, light. After the darkness, light. Now, what did the reformers mean by saying after darkness, light? They were referring not only to the unveiling and liberating of the scriptures that were made available to the common people, but the principal darkness that they were concerned about was the darkness that had descended over one of the most important biblical doctrines there is, over the doctrine of justification. The primary and central issue of the 16th century Reformation was the doctrine of justification by faith alone. In a sense, that doctrine defines the Protestant Reformation, and because it is so important, not only historically and biblically, but it's important to us in terms of our own personal redemption, that what we're going to do now is spend 10 of our sessions together looking afresh at this concept, this doctrine of justification by faith alone. Again, by way of historical reference, this doctrine that was so hotly disputed and debated in the 16th century provoked, I believe, the most volatile controversy in the history of the church. I mean, the church is always engaged in a certain amount of theological controversy. Christian orthodoxy is challenged in every generation. In the 4th century, it was the Arian movement, the heretics that denied the deity of Christ, that prompted the necessity for the convening of the Council of Nicaea, in which the church confessed unambiguously her confidence in the Trinitarian character of God, in the full deity of Christ. It was a similar controversy that broke out in the 5th century that led to the Council of Chalcedon in 451, in which the church again decreed her confidence that Christ is vera homo, vera Deus, truly man, truly God, and defined our understanding of Christ's person, both his humanity and his deity. Now, these controversies were not trifles. These touched upon essential truths of the Christian faith. But for the most part, the church was able to preserve its orthodoxy in the 4th century and the 5th century without being smashed into smithereens and fragmented into 1,000 different denominations. But the issue that emerged in the 16th century was so volatile, as I said, that the whole of Christendom was torn asunder. And the unity of the church was broken in a way that was unprecedented historically. Now, that doesn't mean that the doctrine that was the chief issue, justification, is more important than the doctrine of the person of Christ or of the work of Christ. I don't mean to suggest that. But I think we need to understand that this doctrinal issue was deemed by both sides of the controversy to be so important that there was no compromise possible on it, that this was not one of those debates that you can just agree to disagree about and live in charity in light of it, because both sides convinced that what was at stake in this doctrine of justification was the very essence of the biblical gospel. And when the gospel is at stake, everything is at stake. Now, before we look at the actual controversy and the views that were held by both sides and so on, I want to just spend some time by way of introduction on how important this issue was perceived to be by those who were engaged in it. One of the famous comments that came out of the Reformation came from Martin Luther when he said that the doctrine of justification by faith alone is the article upon which the church stands or falls. Let me say it again. Luther said that the doctrine of justification by faith alone is the article upon which the church stands or falls. If the church has this right, she stands. If she has it wrong, she falls. And so Luther was arguing that this doctrine is key and pivotal to our whole understanding of Christianity. That's why there was so much at stake. Now, I've often asked myself this question, knowing that I have a personal devotion to Luther. I love Luther. I admire Luther. I'm very much impressed by Luther as a theologian and as a courageous reformer and all of that. Yet at the same time, Luther was a human being. He wasn't an apostle. I hold no brief for the inspiration of Martin Luther or the infallibility of Martin Luther. And I have to ask myself now, R.C., do you believe that the doctrine of justification by faith alone is the article upon which the church stands or falls simply because Luther said so? Could not Luther have overestimated and exaggerated the importance of this doctrine? Every time I ask myself that question, I get the same answer from myself. No, he didn't overestimate it. No, he didn't exaggerate it. And the reason I come to that conclusion is because of what the Apostle Paul says in the first chapter of Galatians. Let's take a moment to look back at Galatians 1. I think we're all pretty much familiar with it. But in verse 6 of the first chapter of Galatians, Paul makes this comment. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, now I say so again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Do you hear what Paul is saying here? This apostle is the man who in his teaching, instructions, and admonitions and exhortations to the churches of the first century is constantly extolling the virtue of patience, of gentleness, of meekness, of charity, and of tolerance, and who conversely constantly rebukes the sins of contentiousness, divisiveness, quarrelsome spirits, belligerence, and so on. This man who says that we ought to strive as much as we possibly can to live at peace with all men, this apostle who is the apostle of peace and unity, suddenly comes to a point over a doctrine where he says there can be no toleration here. To tolerate the distortion of the gospel into another gospel is to tolerate the intolerable. Now, the first thing that Paul does here is express his amazement, not that the people had left the gospel that he had preached to them originally, but that they did it so quickly. It was so fast. And he's hardly gone from their midst, and now they want to listen to the teachings of the Judaizers who insist that one cannot be saved by faith in Christ alone, but must also have good works and obedience to the law in order to be saved. They want to mix works in with faith in order for a person to be justified. And Paul says, hold it right there. That is a distortion of the gospel, and they are preaching another gospel. But then he catches himself in midstream, qualifies that, and says, which is not another. Why does he say that? Because the apostle recognizes that there isn't a gospel for you and a gospel for him and a gospel for her. Here a gospel, there a gospel, everywhere a gospel, gospel. Old MacDonald had a gospel, E-I-E-I-O. No, there's only one gospel. And it is the gospel of God. It is the gospel that has been revealed in and through Christ and is now being proclaimed and expounded by the apostles. It is the biblical doctrine of the gospel that is to be maintained. And Paul then speaks as vehemently as he ever speaks in his writings when he says, if anyone, even an angel from heaven, should preach any other gospel from that which you have received, let him be accursed. That's my translation. Let him be accursed. The Greek word there is the word anathema. And you may recognize it. If you don't know a word of Greek, you may recognize the Greek word anathema because it is not only translated, it's transliterated. It comes right into the English language with the word anathema. We just pronounce it differently. Paul is saying, if anybody teaches any other gospel than that which you've received, let him be anathema. And if we miss it, he repeats himself. For instance, he says, again, I say to you, if anybody preaches any other gospel than that which you've received, let him be anathema. Let him be anathema. Let him be damned. Now, that is strong, strong language. Them's are fighting words. What would induce the apostle to speak so vehemently? He understood that the issue of justification, beloved, was not a matter for theologians to debate off in the ivory towers, but it touched every person's life ultimately, because the issue is simply this: how are we saved? It is a life and death matter. It is an eternal life matter. It is an ultimate question for us: how can I, as an unjust person, ever hope to be able to stand before a just and holy God? I mean, the New Testament makes it clear that each one of us will be called into account before God, and that God is righteous, and we're not. Now, the doctrine of justification is the doctrine that addresses the solution to that problem. It says how we as unjust people can be reconciled with a just and holy God. And so if there's anything of the essence of the Christian faith, of the good news of the gospel, it's this doctrine. In fact, Paul felt so strongly about it that later on in chapter 2, he makes mention that he had to rebuke Peter publicly because Peter started to negotiate with the Judaizers, started to compromise a little bit. And he said even Barnabas became seduced for a time. So Paul expresses an astonishment that not only the rank and file believers were quickly moving away from the gospel, but the apostles themselves and their entourage were susceptible to it. That's scary. And Paul says an interesting thing after he makes this strong statement about anathema. He says in verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Paul knew that the subject he was addressing was intensely controversial. It was controversial then. It was controversial in the 16th century, and it is controversial now. And I suspect until the kingdom comes, the question of how we are redeemed will always be controversial. And many of us flee from controversy. I don't like controversy. I don't enjoy it at all. Who likes conflict? You have to be a masochist to enjoy that sort of thing. I don't enjoy it at all. I want to please people. And Paul found himself in that situation. Luther found himself in that situation. Do I please God? Do I please men? Sometimes you're faced with that kind of a dilemma. And certainly Paul was feeling that that's what he was up against in that controversy among the Galatians. Well, for Paul, the gospel is the article upon which the church stands or falls. Because if you negotiate the gospel, you're under the curse of God. And so I think Luther was firmly justified in making the assessment that he did. Let me read a couple of comments that Luther made in addition to the well-known phrase that the justification by faith is the article by which the church stands or falls. Listen to what he wrote on one occasion. He said, "The article of justification is the master and prince, the Lord, the ruler, and the judge over all kinds of doctrines. It preserves and governs all church doctrine and raises up our conscience before God. Without this article, the world is utter death and darkness, tenebros." Elsewhere, Luther wrote this: "If the article of justification is lost, all Christian doctrine is lost at the same time." See, Luther understood that theology really is systematic. And that if we distort the gospel, which is of the essence of Christian truth, that distortion will influence and affect everything else that we believe in the Christian faith. Calvin said something very similar. He said, "The doctrine of justification is the principal ground on which religion must be supported, so it requires greater care and attention. For unless you understand, first of all, what your position is before God, and what the judgment which he passes upon you, you have no foundation on which your salvation can be laid, or on which piety toward God can be reared." Notice he uses similar imagery to Luther. He's talking about the image of foundation. And when Luther said it's the article upon which the church stands or falls, what's he talking about? That which is fundamental, foundational to the whole of the Christian faith. In our own day, Dr. J.I. Packer wrote a brilliant essay as part of an introductory essay to a reprint of a 19th century work on justification by Buchanan. And Packer makes this observation: "For the doctrine of justification by faith is like Atlas. It bears a world on its shoulders, the entire evangelical knowledge of saving grace. A right view of these things is not possible without a right understanding of justification, so that when justification falls, all true knowledge of the grace of God and human life falls with it, and then, as Luther said, the church itself falls." He says, "And when this happens, and Protestants let the thought of justification drop out of their minds, the true knowledge of salvation drops out with it and cannot be restored until the truth of justification is back in its proper place. When Atlas falls, everything that rested on his shoulders comes crashing down." Some of you will recall the famous novel written by Ayn Rand, in which the title of the novel was Atlas Shrugged. What an image. You've seen statues or pictures of Atlas, you know, hunched over, bearing the globe or the world on his shoulders. And you see every ripple and sinew of his muscular body as he is supporting the whole world. Imagine, if you will, Atlas while he's in the midst of this tremendously demanding task of holding up the world, suddenly just shrugs his shoulders. What happens? The globe rolls off his back. The world comes crashing down. So it's a beautiful image that Packer has drawn on to show that justification, the doctrine of salvation, is that which is our very life support before God. And so, my friends, I don't think it's possible to overestimate how important it is for us to gain a clear understanding and keep that understanding before our eyes in every generation, because I believe we are in a new dark age and where a curtain has descended on this central doctrine of justification.
You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, the radio outreach of Ligonier Ministries, located outside of Orlando, Florida. Our teacher is Dr. R.C. Sproul, and he'll be back in just a moment to wrap up with a concluding thought. Today's lesson is the first in an important series titled Justification by Faith Alone. In this 15-part study, Dr. Sproul examines the biblical teaching regarding justification, and he demonstrates that Christ's righteousness is reckoned to us solely by faith alone. R.C. calls us to be bold in proclaiming the centrality of this doctrine, despite the fact that it's so unpopular. Perhaps today's lesson sparked an interest in this topic. You can go deeper by requesting the complete series on CD. It's yours when you give a donation of any amount to Ligonier Ministries. Call 1-800-435-4343, or online you can go to renewingyourmind.org. The 15 lessons in this study on justification by faith alone address the issues and concerns that Martin Luther raised in the early 16th century, the events that led to the Protestant Reformation. And Dr. Sproul demonstrates that we must protect these foundational truths even today. As you listen, you'll come to a better understanding of God's grace that brings us peace through Jesus Christ. Give a gift of any amount and request the CD series titled Justification by Faith Alone right now. Again, call 1-800-435-4343 or online go to renewingyourmind.org. Now, here's Dr. Sproul with today's Coram Deo thought.
We live in an age where it's considered politically incorrect to regard doctrine as important. Do you think it's important how you can be saved? Does it matter to you what is the grounds or the basis upon which your own salvation rests? Beloved, how can it not matter to you? I can't think of anything that matters more and is more practical than the question, how can I be redeemed? The question that the Philippian jailer asked of Paul, what must I do to be saved? The how of salvation is absolutely critical for you and for me. And so if, as a general rule, you don't like doctrine and you're not interested in theology, put that aside for the next few days. And let's take together a close look at this most controversial but most important doctrine of the Christian faith.
Renewing Your Mind is a listener-supported outreach. To show your support by mail, write to Ligonier Ministries, P.O. Box 865-777, Orlando, Florida, 32886. That's Post Office Box 865-777, Orlando, 32886. I'm Lee Webb. Join us again next weekend as we continue our study on justification by faith alone with a lesson titled Luther's Discovery. That's next weekend on Renewing Your Mind.